Welcome back to Vocal Point. This is Jerry Newcomb. America, of course, is the land of the free and the home of the brave. Well, theoretically, but increasingly, political correctness dominates our lives more and more. A Christian baker in Denver has found out the hard way that you shouldn't violate the new commandment, thou shalt not be politically incorrect. We're going to talk right now with Matt Barber, who is a constitutional attorney. He's involved in Liberty School of Law. He's involved in Liberty Council with the Matt Staver. He's a columnist, of course, and he even runs his own column service now, or wire service, called Barb Wire. Matt, welcome back to the program.
Jerry, always good to be on with you.
Okay, good. So tell us about this baker in Colorado.
Well, sure. Jack Phillips is a Christian baker in the Denver metro area, which happens to be my hometown, so this one hits a little close to home.
I didn't know that.
Who, when a homosexual pair came in and asked him to bake a so-called, you know, gay wedding cake for a ceremony they were going to have for their Massachusetts same-sex wedding, because, of course, in Colorado, there is no such thing as gay marriage. He very, very politely declined and said, I'm afraid I can't do that. I can't lend my talents and my skills and my abilities to affirm something that the Bible and Christianity and my faith consider a sin. And so he politely declined. Well, they were having none of that. Rather than going down the street to another baker that would accommodate them, they filed a complaint with the Colorado Civil Rights Commission and was adjudicated. And this baker was told by this seven-panel commission, this star chamber, basically, there in Denver, that, basically the First Amendment is dead and you have the right to exercise your faith if you are going to engage in commerce, and that he had to, going forward, he and all of his employees had to attend this mandatory sensitivity training where they will have their, you know, their minds summarily washed of all recognition of Judeo-Christian morality, and told that if he ever did this again going forward, he could face major fines, could face jail time, and that he must affirmatively lend his talents and abilities and skills to bake the homosexual wedding cakes or not bake wedding cakes at all. And to this point, the baker has said, well, I'm not going to violate my conscience. I believe this is my First Amendment right. So if this is what it means, then I'm just not going to bake any wedding cakes.
Wow. This story has not gotten much traction. I think it ought to be better known even in the Christian community. Let's see. I could go all kinds of different places with this, but first question is this. Suppose somebody walked in there, whether they were homosexual or straight or whatever, and they said, I want to buy some cookies. Would he say, well, you know, you are obviously a homosexual. I'm not going to sell you cookies. Go to the baker down the street. It wasn't like that. It was more like celebrate what we're doing by making something unique that you can make with your wonderful wedding cakes.
Yeah, you've honed in like a laser beam there, Jerry. That's exactly right. And the left is very adept at blurring the lines and building up a straw man argument and then building the beating the straw man to death. They have characterized this as a Jim Crow kind of new era where, you know, gays need not apply. We don't serve your kind in here. This baker, and I don't know of a single instance where any baker, photographer, florist, you know, anybody involved in any of these wedding services has done that to any homosexual. He has said, Jack Phillips has said that, hey, if they came in looking for a birthday cake, if they came in looking for, you know, cupcakes or cookies or whatever, that no problem. I don't mind serving everybody. I don't care whatever their sexual proclivities may or may not be. What the issue hinges here on expression. This is the government forcing this baker to endorse a message that the Bible and that 2,000 years of Christian tradition and Christianity and, frankly, objective morality find reprehensible. And so this baker has again said, I would serve anybody, you know, anything, but I'm not going to endorse a sinful message and lend my talents and abilities to assist somebody engage in sinful behavior that can create separation between these people and God for eternity. And that is the Christian position, and he can't violate his conscience. So that, you know, this would be no different, Jerry, than having, for instance, say, you know, a white supremacist come in and say, we want you to make, we're having a KKK fundraising rally and going into a black baker and saying, we want you to bake our cake for our banquet at this fundraising rally. And the black baker saying, well, no, I'm not going to do that because I don't support the message of the KKK. And you wouldn't hear people screaming, oh, that's discrimination. He's targeting these people because they're white. That's racial discrimination. You wouldn't hear that, but this is no different than that scenario.
Well, now, you're a constitutional attorney. What kind of help is the baker getting in this case?
I'm sorry, you broke up there, Jerry.
Well, I'm just wondering in terms of what kind of help he's getting as far as, you know, legal help to basically say, look, he should be exempt from having to violate his conscience.
Well, fortunately, our friends at the Alliance Defending Freedom have taken on his case. They are going to be appealing this decision to the higher court there in the state of Colorado. We'll see how that plays out. If that doesn't go well, my understanding is, I'm not representing Jack Phillips, but in speaking with my friends at the Alliance Defending Freedom, my understanding is that they're willing to take this as far as they need, all the way up to the Supreme Court if need be.
Okay, good. By the way, I am sitting in a production studio that was founded by, and this radio station is ultimately one that was founded by, Dr. D. James Kennedy. This is essentially the radio station he founded, but reborn for the internet age. And D. James Kennedy, of course, was one of those who co-founded the Alliance Defending Freedom. So God bless him. Now, in contrast to the ADF, is the ACLU, which is involved in this case, and of course, on the wrong side. Mark Silverstein of the ACLU said specifically about this case, what the judge decided was that the baker's religious beliefs don't give him a right to discriminate and violate Colorado law. Well, you're an attorney. What are your comments on that?
Well, it's nonsensical on its face. This the ACLU here and this judge and this seven-panel civil rights star chamber, which is a misnomer to call this civil rights, they are putting these newfangled sexual orientation laws, this state law of Colorado, against Jack Phillips, this baker's guaranteed First Amendment religious liberties. It doesn't say you have the freedom to hold certain religious beliefs. You have it's the free exercise of religion. This cannot be. People say, well, this is no different than racial discrimination and serving, you know, serving blacks like in the days of Jim Crow. That's nonsense. We're talking about immutable, neutral characteristics there, people's skin color, their race. It, of course, it's reprehensible to discriminate against people based solely upon their race. We're talking about moral issues here. We're talking about people who define their identity based upon behaviors that thousands of years of world history, every major world religion, Christianity, the Bible, 2,000 years of Christianity, common sense, objective morality, and uncompromising biology all hold to be disordered behaviors, sinful behaviors. So it is offensive for them to make a comparison to race or skin color to these behaviorally defined false identities or, quote, orientations.
Right. And on top of that, since you use the word immutable, immutable means unchanging. And we do know, you know, I'm sure, some people who are former homosexuals. Some fall back into it, but still, there are definitely some who have walked out of the homosexual lifestyle through the gospel of Jesus Christ. But I don't know any black person who has changed in their skin color, and nor should they. But still, this whole idea of equating the two, you know, I would think that should be more black people who were offended at that equation, wouldn't you think?
Well, and there are, in fact. I mean, we even saw in the state of California with Proposition 8, 70% of the African-American community
7-0.
Voting to pass, 70% of blacks voting to pass Proposition 8 in California, one of the most liberal states in the country. My good friend Ken Hutcherson, the late Hutcherson, recently passed away. from cancer, a former NFL football player, a big black man, booming voice. He said it this way. He'd say, "Don't compare your sin to my skin." And I know that the majority of those in the African American community believe that.
Yeah. Don't compare your sin with my skin. I like that.
Yeah,
that's good.
Don't compare your sin to my skin. Exactly.
Well, now, when it comes to the founding fathers, when it comes to the issue of freedom of conscience, even the more liberal-oriented of them, those who wouldn't, let's say, be orthodox as far as Christian theology is concerned, all of them were in favor of the rights of conscience. And sometimes you even hear that phrase, the sacred right of conscience. Wouldn't the sacred right of conscience of the Phillips family fit in here? I mean, shouldn't their conscience be protected?
Well, of course, absolutely. And not only that, it is protected constitutionally under it wasn't the First Amendment by accident. Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof. Not only did they hold it sacrosanct, the freedom of conscience in this regard, look at the particular issue that we're discussing here. During the time of our founding, they relied on William Blackstone, on his writings, on common law, and then after that, all 13 colonies recognized sodomy, homosexual behavior, as an infamous crime against nature. Now, I certainly wouldn't advocate this now, but it was applied to that time. In many of the colonies, the death penalty was prescribed for its homosexual behavior. So to somehow imagine that there would have been a constitutional right guarantee for people to, a male to marry a male based on this, quote, infamous crime against nature is absolutely absurd, much less to say that a Christian would be forced to endorse that message by giving his slave labor, essentially, as an indentured servant here to do something against his will to endorse a message that is based on this infamous crime against nature. Up is down, black is white, and woe to those who call evil good and good evil, and that is our culture today.
Mm. Okay, writing for the AP in December of 2013, reporter Ivan Marino says this, quote, "A baker who refused to make a wedding cake," this is all about the same story, "A baker who refused to make a wedding cake for a same-sex ceremony must serve gay couples despite his religious beliefs or face fines," a judge said Friday. Again, that was in December, last December. The order says the cake maker must cease and desist from discriminating against gay couples. So Jack Phillips of Masterpiece Cake Shop, that we've been talking about in Denver, the Denver area, so he is now ceasing and desisting, right? He's not making any more wedding cakes. So why is it, or how is it, that he's now going to be forced anyway to go through re-education camps on this issue, sensitivity training?
Yeah, that was part of the prescribed, quote, sentencing. That was separate from the requirement that he affirmatively bake these cakes and endorse this message. Yet, to additionally, he and his elderly mother, who is 89 years old, who works with him at the bakery, are told that they have to attend this sensitivity training, which is going to be led by some recent, college grad with a major in, gender and LGBT studies or some other such nonsense. And they're going to have this leftist propaganda, this moral relativism rammed down their throat, and they're being told, your Christian views are now run afoul of the law. You have to embrace postmodern sexual relativism and act accordingly. I mean, we are living in George Orwell's 1984. Even if you had told me 10 years ago, I kind of knew this day was coming, but I wouldn't have believed it. And Jerry, I hate to say it, but I believe it's going to get much worse before it gets better.
Well, the fact that this is not even well known, even in the Christian community, is so disturbing. We have less than a minute to go, but when the facts are known about the homosexual lifestyle, it is definitely something that's very unhealthy, and people die young because people, let's be honest, they're engaging in unnatural acts, and I won't go any further than that. And it's very unhygienic. Is that going to be brought out in the sensitivity training? I doubt it. We have less than 20 seconds.
Yeah, of course not. We know this is a one-sided thing. You know, our nation is under deception on this issue, and this is the issue that the left is using to crush freedom in the United States.
Matt Barber, God bless you. Barbwire.com for more information, correct?
That's it. Thanks, Jerry.
Thank you, Matt. Appreciate all you do. Bye-bye now. God bless.